Welcome back to Backstage, where we share what's going on behind the scenes at Relay FM. I am Relay FM co-founder Mike Hurley, and I am joined by Relay FM co-founder Stephen Hackett. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I am good. It's like a rainy Monday here.
Oh, okay. Sun's out here, actually, which I'm enjoying.
No one cares about the weather, Mike.
Hey, what's going on at Relay FM? Please tell me. I don't know.
Oh, you should know. We just had a 30-minute phone call about it.
I have no idea. I wasn't listening.
Wow.
Yeah, I only listened to the parts where I was talking.
Oh, interesting. Well, you got a real surprise coming. No, I'm just kidding.
So am I.
Yeah, I mean, you were here. We talked about that last time.
Yep.
I had no memory of recording Backstage in person until I looked at the CMS today.
So, yeah, there was a fun thing which I was going to bring up, but then saw you changed it. So when I looked in the document this morning, Stephen had this whole thing about the trip, and I thought to myself, I am sure we spoke about this. Mm-hmm. I am convinced we had a conversation, but it could have been anywhere, right? So I kind of just left it.
Yeah.
And then when I came back today before the show, I noted that you'd taken it out. I don't remember recording Backstage in person, though. I don't remember it.
I think we did it on Friday. And then that mm-hmm. Saturday, we finally had our, like, we're going to go sit and work because we hadn't done that all week. You know, yep. In terms of, like, planning and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which
we
was good.
We had really good cheeseburgers.
Yes.
Too. Well, you didn't have a cheeseburger.
I had a non-cheeseburger.
But I had a cheeseburger, and it was great.
Regular burger.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. Yeah, you mentioned this on Cortex. I think Gray had asked you how the trip had gone. And mm-hmm. We are, you know, in the early stages of looking at putting together another role here at Relay FM. So yep. Currently it's me and you. Mm-hmm. We're the co-founders and the owners. And then we have Carrie, our VP of sales. We have Kathy, who everybody knows, our community manager. Kathy also does some back office stuff with both mm-hmm. of us. So she helps us with some invoicing and some payment stuff, which is fantastic. We have Jim, who is an editor on a bunch of our shows. We have Ben, who is the software developer on our CMS and our ad inventory. Like CRM.
I don't like it thing. When you list it all like that.
And
that makes me feel very uncomfortable.
And we have like 50 hosts.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so we're looking at expanding sort of the core team by one. Another part-time, you know, contractor position. I was supposed to be working on the job description last week, and I didn't really get to that. But it's always interesting when we consider adding a person, adding a mm-hmm. role.
Yeah.
It's a little scary.
It's terrifying is what it is. But it's important. Like, you know, we have a couple of areas. How much do you want to talk about?
We should probably talk to that before we got on the air.
Well, we're talking about it now. I was thinking about this actually last night. It's kind of like,
I follow your lead.
I have no problem sharing more in this environment than we would otherwise. Because, so here's the thing, right? Our members, the only people listening to this are our members. They really are our, like, initial barometer, I think, mm-hmm. of things. So what we're looking at doing, so me and Stephen decided that there were two areas we wanted to put more focus into, because one of them is completely underserved and one we think we can do more with. So one is merchandise, which is pretty much completely underserved, and this would take a couple of different forms of like more Relay FM merchandise. And then also helping hosts who want more assistance with merchandise. Everything's been very ad hoc. And we've not really had much of a strategy to call anything, to be honest. So it's we think it's about time that we look at revamping that. And then the other is membership is a massive part of our business now. And having somebody help Stephen on the strategy of membership in the same way that I have Carrie to help... Well, originally to help with some of the strategy of sales, but now vastly doing the majority of the sales for Relay FM. We're looking to kind of add a person into Stephen's organization, the membership part, doing a similar kind of path of like, start with this, expand it to this, expand it to this. Is yeah. kind of the thinking, like follow the role that we took there. And then we kind of, you know, one of the things that we're looking at, you can stop me at any point, is we're thinking about like, what would a higher tier of membership look like in the future? We have no plans of when or if we're going to do this, but what could that look like? And then we were wondering, could it, and these, we are not committing to anything here, right? But we were thinking about like, maybe there is a potential overlap of merchandise and membership. And then that kind of made us think, is there the possibility of having somebody who looks at both of those areas? Because also we were like, one of the things that we were talking about when we were having our burgers was that like membership and merchandise, people that are interested in those things, I think the Venn diagram is there is a strong overlap. That they are the people that care the most. Not entirely. You'll get some people that will do only one, but I think that there would be a lot of people that are more likely to do both.
Yeah.
I know that's the same for me, right? Like as a consumer of content, that the stuff that I'm willing to give money to, I'm willing to give money to in multiple ways as long as they give me those things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking about like finding somebody who can help with both of those areas. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, it totally is. Because I think there could be a lot of interesting overlap between those, what would seem like separate things.
Yeah.
And I think being able to have somebody who can kind of span more than one area would be good. Like Kathy does, really.
Mm-hmm. Which, so yeah, this is something that we're thinking about. We're trying to imagine what would this role actually encompass. What are the skills that this person would need? And then we're going to start going from there. We don't know how or when this job posting will become a real thing, but this is like where we're working towards right now to try and get somebody. And we have to come up with some really good job title for that, but I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Suggestions on a postcard would be good. Now I've blown the lid off everything. What else have we got going on?
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to go all the way into
how
it.
How uncomfortable do you feel right now?
Pretty uncomfortable.
Is it because... But like, here's... Look, you know, because here's the other thing. I was thinking about all this. You could tell I had some kind of like existential moment last night. We're not like this big secret company. Like, why not just talk about what we've got in our minds? Like, we're not... We are very clearly here not committing to anything, right?
Right.
And like, because I said that like 100 times. And I feel like in this environment, I'm cool with it. Like, I want to share it. But I'm not going to start tweeting about it, you know?
Right.
Or like, I'm not going to talk about it on Upgrade, or we're not going to talk about it on Connected, because that's too public, right? Like that, right? But this way, like we can just share it with the people that listen in, which is an important but smaller subset of our audience, and they get it. You get it, right? Our listeners get it.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. And I mean, as we, especially on the membership side, like, if we're looking at doing more, it'd be good to have feedback around what people may want.
Like what would be the things people would want, you know? But that's later. That's all later. First thing is someone. Because, you know, to start with, there is a lot of just administrative stuff that can go to a person and can help take things off your plate. And I'm sure you have things that you would like to do, but don't, when it comes to membership. And we can have someone doing that.
We're also starting work on our annual specials. Mm-hmm. So people may remember a couple of years ago, we moved those from the fall into like May, June time period.
I think last year was the first time, wasn't it?
It may have been.
I think it was, because we did it. I mean, we launched the new membership program in 2020, right? And so 2021 was the first year where we did it in the spring to coincide with the new annual kind of roll-up. Kathy is confirming it. If Kathy says it, then it must be true, because Kathy organizes it.
Then I believe it.
Uh-huh. So yeah, this is the second time we're doing them in the spring, which I feel very good about right now.
Yeah, it's way better. I mean, September is so busy with the iPhone and with St. Jude and Podcastathon and everything else. Getting it into the, I guess, late spring, early summer makes a lot of sense there. It also coincides when we relaunched membership 2 years ago, and... It's kind of a nice kind of all together there in May and June. So we've got a schedule. People are getting on the schedule. Start seeing those in a little over a month, I think, about 5 weeks from now. It's going to be fun. We're going to, it'll be a longer time period. They'll definitely reach into June. We're trying to give a little more space between each episode. And if you're not familiar with this, they show up in this feed. So in the crossover feed, you get Fusion and Backstage, and you get the annual specials and anything else that we put out to all members. So if you're a member of Connected, you get the annual special not only from Connected, but from everybody else. So this feed is going to be real busy next month.
Yeah, but we're spreading, as you say, we're spreading it out a little bit more. And, you know, we can call it as it was. I was being difficult, and I don't know exactly when the Cortex upgrade one will be done, and because we're recording it pretty late, and I think it's going to take me a while to do it. So I put a request in to the membership department if we could stretch it out to later into June, because I don't know how long it's going to take. Because last year took a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And this year we're expecting it to also take a really, really long time.
And it's we got WWDC in there now. Now we know where that is. So.
And I'm planning on taking a vacation. I know you are as well, in June. So
I'll be gone the end of the month in June. It'll be after all this.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be nice.
There is a bullet point in this document that is completely unrelated to the show, but I think you want to brag.
No, I just want to talk about it.
All right, let's talk about it.
I want to talk about it. So you and I have been doing...
See if you can get through it without bragging.
I beat you in an Apple Watch fitness competition last week.
This is completely unrelated to Relay FM. It's just me and you. We could talk about it, but...
It was very close. It was very close.
This is the first Apple Watch fitness competition I've ever done.
I have yet to work out how it accommodates time zone differences. I don't think it does.
No, I don't think it does. It's just my day and your day.
Yeah.
Because I start earlier than you.
Yes.
So it's all very strange, because it's basically the way that it's calculated is you can score up to 600 points a day, and it's all done through some kind of percentage over your, I don't know. It's all very complicated. Let me read it. Get a point for every percent. I don't know if I put a space there. So if you, it's funny, competition rules. It says, get a point for every per space cent, per cent, you add to your rings each day. The competition lasts 7 days, and you can earn up to 600 points a day. That is a maximum of 4,200 points for the week. Per cent.
Per cent.
And yeah, it was very close last week, but you beat me. You had a benefit of, you had, a bigger workout earlier in the week, and then it was, to and throw a bit. You would bump me over a few days, and then most of my exercise happens on Friday. That's when I do my big I'll do a big training session, and so I had hit my maximum and still had a bunch more walking around stuff that I was going to do in the day, so I'm kind of screwed by the 600 point thing maximum. So I'm thinking about strategies now for how to beat you. Do you know what though, I did make choices last week that I wouldn't have made otherwise, because I wanted the points.
Nice. That's good.
So I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
I shared this in the Fitness and Health Discord channel, but my goal is to have April be a perfect Apple Watch ring month, and I've never had one.
What, all three every day?
Yep.
Oh, well, then you're going to beat me every single time. I'm in for a tough time then, aren't I?
Well, that's my goal, and yeah. I've come close in the past. But I'm trying to be much more serious about it. So that's one way I'm doing it. So I'm wearing the Apple Watch every day, which I don't love, but it is what it is. And
I do mine most weekdays. Most weekdays, I do all three. It's the weekends where I fall off big time.
Yeah, it can be tough on the weekends, especially if you have other stuff to do.
I just don't want to do it.
Or if you just don't want to do it.
I just don't want to do any fitness on the weekend.
I did have one night, I think it was Wednesday, where I went to because Wednesday is really busy because I take a kid to school, I come home and I record Somehow I Manage, and then I have an hour and a half between that and recording Connected, and then I immediately turn around and edit and publish Connected. Uh-huh. So Wednesday, in my time tracking, Wednesday is always the most hours of any day of the week is Wednesday. And then we had some stuff in the evening, And I got home and it was like 8:30 and I hadn't done anything. So I was like, I just went for a walk. I was like, I got to get something in to close the ring. But so far, so good. I'm having fun with it.
I'm intrigued to see how it goes.
Yeah, you're beating me right now. We just started today.
Yeah, but that's because I get the head start on you, right?
Yep.
Which I will say, it doesn't benefit me at all. Because there comes to a certain point in the day where you can eclipse me, and I'm like, I'm not going to do something now. It's like 10 p.m., like I'm done.
Yeah, so you can't do anything
about
it.
I get to see that point where you pass me by, and I'm like, oh, god damn it.
Time zones.
It's fun, though. It is fun.
I do want to go back a second, though. Can we just talk about how bad so much of the copy is in like the fitness app and the little teasing messages and stuff? It's just bad.
Oh, yeah, what the texts that we send.
Yeah.
Well, I never send them. You send them because I know you enjoy them. But they're terrible. Yeah. Like the canned messages that they want you to send to each other.
Like, wow, you really smoked it. Or, I mean, whatever it is. It's so bad.
It's like, I don't know who wrote them. Because it doesn't feel like a computer wrote them. And it feels like a human shouldn't have. Because they're both too familiar and not personal enough at the same time. Which is very weird. Should we do some questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, first one comes from Ryan. Ryan wants to know, is there a Relay FM house style?
Not really. There are some things that we try to adhere to, but it's not like formally in a document. There is a document about words that we bleep, which was real fun to put together. And it's really usually not an issue there at this point. We do generally use title case for episode names, generally. And of course, the show artwork definitely has a style, but it's all on a grid. So if you stack them all up on each other,
it has and there's also like a visual consistency.
Yeah, there's not like a style in the sense of, and we do have a color palette, but it's way wider than it used to be. But like they all use the same typeface. The title's always here in this size, in this weight, so you can see them. Layout style. Thank you, Kate. The big one for me is the name of the company.
We lost that fight so long ago, though.
To a degree. So it's Relay space FM. FM is capitalized. What just bugs me is when people call the network the URL.
Relay.fm.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, this show is on Relay.fm. And like, that's fine because at least it's the website, so you can find us. But it just really irks me when our hosts do it somewhere.
What bothers me more than that is if it's relay dot and then lowercase fm.
Yeah, like it's actually the URL.
Yeah, that bugs me the most. Like, you do it, but just do it capitalized. We spoke about this before, I'm sure, but there was a time period where we were like, we'll never call it Relay. It's always Relay FM.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like a thing that me and you were just like dead set on at the start. And I think it lasted like a week. And then it was just like, no, it's just Relay. Like, I did have this thought recently where it's like, what? Why is the FM in the name? Why is it in there? It was like the thing at the time, I think.
Yeah.
But it's just funny, right? Like, the FM's just in there.
Yeah, the name is a little bit a product of its time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And yeah, I've definitely moved to, I would definitely just call it Relay and be fine with it.
If we could get relay.com, which we'll never get, but if we could muscle it away from that, I think it's a French company.
Oh, it is. I'm looking at it right now.
Maybe we would. Yep. That's the stores. You know, those convenience stores you see in airports.
Yep. People always send us pictures of them.
We've taken pictures in front of it. If we could wrestle it away from them, maybe we would just drop the FM, but it's never going to happen because ain't got that kind of money.
No, they're like a real company.
Well, so are we.
The VIP Relay Pass.
I'd love it. That's what we should call the membership tier.
You know, I've wanted to name the membership something other than the Relay FM membership. Maybe we could Relay VIP Pass.
Well, I mean, for me, it's in French here. So Le Pass VIP Relay, that's what we'll call it.
I use Chrome and it translated it. With the Relay VIP Pass, exclusive discounts await you in your Relay store. Ask for it. It's free.
Oh,
it can be easily added to your smartphone. They have Apple Wallet support.
Some of that is true for us. It can, we can easily add membership to the smartphone. It's not free though.
Get money off coffee, 5% off books. You get, quote, promotions on snacking, 10% off on audio items.
Right.
You get, if you get like a stuffed animal or a Beanie Boo, as they call it, you get 50% off the second one.
A Beanie Boo?
Beanie Boo. That may be a translation issue.
No. I think that's fine. I think we found it.
What a website.
We're going to be Relay FM forever because we're never going to get a domain from them.
Go to Relay to discover all the press dealing with the current affairs and elections. 2022, the year of reading. Our stores are operational.
Yeah, because there are elections going on in France right now.
They are. So. Yep. And you can get your news when you're in the airport.
Perfect.
What's next?
Next question comes from Jabohav, who asks, how stressful or exciting is pre-recording for something under NDA? So there's kind of two parts to this question, I think. There is both NDA and secret, right? So like when we do interviews, I've never had to sign an NDA for those interviews because they're never sharing things in those interviews that aren't available already, right? So like there's no NDA necessary because if we do interviews with, I mean, we talk about Apple here specifically, but when me and Austin spoke to Panos at Microsoft, like there's no NDAs to be shared because we're not doing pre-release conversations, right? It's the same for you.
Yeah, when we've had interviews on MPU, like we don't sign anything, so it's not like an actual NDA, but sometimes they're timed. We're like, hey, you can't release it until this date. And all that's done beforehand. We agree to it all. Yeah. And on occasion, Apple want to hear an interview, but in the last couple of years, that's changed and they haven't required that.
I always share the edit when I do it just so they can hear it. I just think that that's fair. I have no problem doing that. Like, just say, hey, here's the episode, and we're going to put it up. Like, that's not an issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess as Tony's saying, they're embargoed to a point. We just agree on a time. They don't tell us the time.
You know? Right.
Like, when it's just like, oh, what day is it going to go up on? And we just say, oh, we're going to put it up on this day. And we're like, oh, okay, great. The other stuff that we've done on Upgrade is sometimes Jason gets products under NDA, right?
Right, which is a different ballgame. I don't have experience with that.
And under those circumstances, we're just rolling under Jason's NDA.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's nothing additional that goes on there, but that is very stressful. That's more stressful for me because in those circumstances, nothing is agreed. You know, like we're just publishing at the NDA time, at the embargo time, right? Mm-hmm. And so I have the pressure in that moment of this audio cannot be heard, right? Yeah. Which is complicated. Like if I want to hit the time, like if I don't care about hitting the embargo time when I'm editing and publishing those episodes, I don't have to have any stress, right? I could just upload it to our audio and put it in the CMS all after the embargo time, and there's no problem. But I like to be at that exact moment, right? So the show's like immediately there. Someone could just start listening. They could choose that episode of Upgrade. And we've also done it for Connected too, with Federica.
Oh, yeah.
We have done it. So you have edited under these circumstances too. I don't remember when the last time that was, but I know we've done it. And so I do have a lot of fear in those moments. So I'm like, I obscurely name the files in case someone was to guess and all that kind of stuff. So just want to be very careful and just make sure that you don't press the button you're not supposed to press. One of the things I like about our CMS is you can set the time, right?
Yes.
We can set a publishing time. So I set that time, which means I can't accidentally, into the future of the embargo date. So it means I can't accidentally publish it, which also is very good.
Yep. So you trust the scheduler now?
I still don't set it to publish on its own. Okay. I still publish it myself. But it's just me setting a fail safe for myself. So when I put it into draft mode and save it, I just put it as the time of the embargo, right? But then I don't. It's just in case I accidentally set it as published. That's the only reason.
Man, I let stuff publish all on its own all the time. It's great.
I know you can do it, and I know it works. I just prefer to be there pressing the button.
Every episode of MPU and Ungeniused ever that I've done.
Well, unless you ask me to do it, Ungeniused, but sometimes.
Well, even then, and I actually have a fix for that now. Sometimes I have you like Ungenius will go live, but I need you to tweet as the show. Uh-huh. And uh-huh. I've got Buffer set up to do that now too. So,
oh, look at you. You're a social media manager now.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Really, it just came to bite me because Sunday afternoons can be busy around here. And like being around to send a tweet when MPU goes up has been difficult some weeks. Like, why am I doing this? Like, I could just have it all set in advance and let it go. Let the computer do it, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. Rob asks, what is the latest podcast that you have discovered and subscribed to? Also, what is the most obscure or smallest show you subscribe to?
The latest for me is Userlandia. It's actually by Relay FM member Dan Vincent. Dan talks a lot about computer history, so it's right up my alley. He does this cool thing where each podcast is also an essay, and so he has like a whole package like he puts together for whatever topic. I think it's a really cool way to do it.
I'm looking at this page right now, and so is the essay separate from the audio?
I think it's the same copy.
Oh, okay.
If I understand correctly.
Here we go. Look, no, this is an edited transcript of a live podcast.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. So you can consume it in both ways.
Yeah,
but I
which
do
is cool.
feel like this is a Stephen Hackett like audience production, you know?
Yeah, it's great. The newest is by a friend of mine here in Memphis. So I've spoken about the Forrest Spence Fund before. In fact, Federico has donated to them a Connected in the Flexies. They support families whose kids are like in the Children's Hospital here, and then now they work all over Tennessee and other parts of the South. But it was founded by some friends of ours who lost their son like 12 years ago or something, and they launched a podcast called In the Face of Illness. I helped them get it set up. Mary and I have an episode coming out.
Oh, great!
In the next couple of months, we recorded it not too long ago, where they interview people in the medical field or families who have gone through this sort of thing. Obviously, it's heavy. It's not like a happy-go-lucky podcast. It can be, tough.
This feels like you already know if you're the type of person that wants to hear this, right?
Yes.
Like this isn't like a let me just check this out.
Yeah, it's if you're gonna check one of these two out, check out Dan's, not the Forrest Spence Fund podcast.
Don't just stumble across this podcast. It's probably like you're in for a time.
Yeah. And so anyways, I think they're doing a good job with it. Brittany, my friend, who's the executive director, she and her husband lost their son. She does a great job with it. I mean, she interviewed Mary and I. I was like, you did a really good job. Like, it was great. So
that's great.
Those two will be in the show notes.
So the newest, it's kind of complicated. It's not really a podcast as such. I listen to a bunch of stuff by Kinda Funny. They make content mostly focused around video games and movies, but their content, kind of a lot of it, feels like it molds into one in a way. I guess maybe in a way to what our stuff used to be like, where we only had like five shows, right? And so it was like an overlap. They do like daily shows, they do weekly shows, and I listen to most of them. I actually, for this one, this is where it's even weirder. I actually watch/listen to all of these on YouTube.
Oh boy.
They record all of their shows as video shows. So there are lots of things that only work if you can see it, but it can happen randomly, right? So what I would do a lot of the time is I just have the audio playing. I could get my phone locked or whatever. And then I can unlock my phone and look at it on YouTube. But it's been intriguing to me because I feel like I am consuming a podcast, like a regular podcast consumer. Mm-hmm. Like I am not listening in Overcast, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's been illuminating to me, really. I mean, so part of the reason that we did the backmarkers on video is because of my experience listening and watching these shows. It's like, I know I've been consuming it a lot more content in this way. So I wanted to see what it was like to make content under this kind of thinking. So this is stuff I've been listening to a lot recently. They're huge. These shows are massive. They have all audio podcast versions of everything, but they also have video versions too. And from what I understand, their audio versions are vastly outweigh their video versions, but they still do them. When it comes to like the most obscure or smallest, I don't think I have a good answer for this question, because I feel like in this grand scheme of podcasts, the majority of shows I listen to would be considered small because they're like tech shows and, you know, like they don't have like 1.5 million downloads an episode or whatever. You know what I mean? Like they're like in the tens or hundreds of thousands, which isn't small, but is small in the grand scheme of things. I was thinking maybe probably a show like Dithering is maybe, I don't know, but maybe this one of the smaller shows I listen to because it is purely paid up front. Right. So that puts a, you know, an element in it. And as Kate says, I don't actually know the numbers of any of the shows that I listen to because, well, unless I have access to the statistics, which I do for quite a few of them. But like, it's complicated, right? But I don't think I listen to anything truly. Like, what you've given, like, In the Face of Illness, it's like an easy one for you to pick in that way, right? Or it's like, it's so specific and it's made by people that are local to you. I don't think I have anything like that. Well, I looked through my list and nothing jumped out at me, so.
I thought about saying Bonanza as the smallest, the most obscure, but I didn't want to troll you.
I mean, I'm thinking. Yeah, it's the smallest show I do.
All right, this one's for you, or I'll let you answer first. Matt asks, how much of a long-term impact on monetization has COVID had?
The long-term is the interesting part of this question, because the answer to long-term is less than I expected. It had a very big short-term impact,
yeah,
massive one.
Mm-hmm.
A sizable medium-term impact, but if we are considering now as long-term, I don't know if you would, probably shouldn't, but where we are right now, the effect has gone away. So we had to work, Carrie had to work really hard to find new sponsors, which was that was the biggest thing for us. Is we hadn't had a time ever in the company's history where we lost so many of our existing sponsorship agreements. And that was through companies. A lot of companies pulled out of their spend because everyone was terrified. Then the Great Resignation happened, right? And a lot of the people that we were working with at companies that understood us, had those relationships, left those posts, and or those teams got shut down inside of some companies, so people moved on. And so it can be really hard to convince a company that they should spend money with you.
Yeah.
And when you have to do that like six times at once, we'd never experienced something like that before. So we've had to find a lot of new sponsors, and that's playing out. Now, I would expect, you know, keen listeners, or I guess most people listening don't hear them, but probably are aware of our sponsors from our show notes or hearing us mention their names. There should be a lot of new names that you have not heard on our shows before. And that has also just been like a longer term thing that we wanted to do, but then we were forced to do that during COVID of like, helping like find new companies to work with, and it stabilizes us against potential risks like that. But that's like an ongoing process. The ad business itself, like the idea of the podcast advertising business, has stuck around. That has not changed. There's just had to be a shift for us. And now I think we're where we are right now. We are back to 2019 levels of advertising, I think, or at least we are right now. You know, I was talking to Carrie last week and kind of realized that having gone through this now, like the disruption from COVID, like I kind of feel like we could just weather any disruption now. Like just about as big a disruption as you could have. Outside of that, like I actually don't think we could hit anything bigger than that from an external factor. Like it's about as big as you could get. Like, because we work with companies all over the world, right? And the thought of something happening all over the world like that is a rarity. And I actually don't think anything else could happen that would have a worse effect than that. Like, I think it would be just as bad if not less. So,
and it not only let us diversify sponsorships, which is, like you said, something we had been talking about anyways and we had wanted to do for a while.
Yeah.
But also, it gave us the impetus to relaunch membership. And,
yeah,
you know, we want to be at a point where company revenue is 50-50, membership and ads. And it's not now, but it's growing towards that. And if we can be there at some point in the future, and that's the long-term outcome from COVID on the company, then that's not too bad.
Yeah, 50-50, that's your moonshot goal, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be hard to do. Not impossible, but hard to do. But where we are right now is a big percentage, and it continues to grow, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, if we could get to that 50-50 level, I'd love it. Like, that would be incredible. And like, so maybe that's like the thing of going back to what we were talking about earlier on, right? Of like, okay, if we want to get there, what do you need to do? Like, how do you do it? Because we both want it. Like, I would love that. It would be amazing. Just because it would add so much, it would take so much pressure off from the advertising part of the business. So,
yeah. Last year it was 32.68.
Wait, 33%?
Mm-hmm.
33% of the overall revenue for the month for the company, or it was 33% the size like of?
33% of company revenue,
okay,
was membership.
That's really great. Well, there you go then. I mean,
68% was ads, and then you have, you know, a fraction of a percent elsewhere. So
live shows, baby.
Merchandise.
So much money. Now that's interesting to me, actually. I, you know, when sometimes you just don't think about the numbers,
mm-hmm.
Like you don't do the sum, and so in your mind it's just like there's no way. Now you've told me that, I actually think it is possible to get to 50-50.
I think it is too. I mean, it's hard work, but I think we can do it. Sai asks, do paid members who don't receive ads change the rate of advertising?
So I thought this would happen. One of the biggest concerns that I had going into membership is, are we torpedoing our advertising business, which is already struggling, right? Like, my concern was, are the people buying things from our advertisers the same people who would then become members,
mm-hmm.
right? And therefore, do we remove all of those people? That was a concern that I had. I think that there are still members that buy stuff from our advertisers. Like, when we initially launched the membership program, we had a lot of people ask us to bring back in the mention of who our advertisers are in our shows,
yeah,
and to put the codes in the show notes. Like, at first, we weren't going to do any of that. And I think at the start, we didn't do any of that. And then people asked us to do it because they still want to buy from our advertisers, which was, I mean, to me, couldn't have been a bigger like endorsement of the fact that we have the right advertisers. Right? It's like, oh, they actually still want to know who they are. So that was, I was very happy about that. Over the time period that we've got, that we have seen no change in advertising from a demand perspective, so from people wanting to buy our ads, or from a results perspective from the advertisers that we're working with. This is not what I assumed. I assumed that there would be some kind of issue, that, you know, maybe some, but we have not seen anything. Nobody has said to us, hey, your ads have become less effective or et cetera. Like, so there hasn't been any change outside of the regular churn that we get. Like, there are some advertisers at a certain point, they've kind of hit our whole audience and they move on and they take a break for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But none of this in my mind could be attributed to membership because there's been no trend change. I guess the percentages of members, actual members. So this is, okay, so like making the revenue portion is way easier to get to 30%, 50%, 70% in revenue than it is people, right? You following what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
50% of our listeners becoming members ain't ever gonna happen, right? It's just not possible. It's the numbers are massive. Would have to be massive. Like, I just can't imagine that happening just because of what we would need to achieve for that. Because the percentages that we have now, while significant to us, I think they're not large enough to have those swings.
Right.
All right. So, like, you could imagine a show may have multiple tens of thousands of listeners. It probably has a few thousand, like a single-digit percentage of members, which makes a huge difference to the hosts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think the ultimate is like those percentages are not large enough to knock the advertising out of whack. There's another question on this, which you should ask me too. I stacked these in today and I didn't think about how long I'd be talking for.
Eric asks, do download counts matter much anymore? Is that still a driving factor for sponsors or is it an important factor? I stay subscribed to both normal and bonus feeds of Relay shows to keep the numbers up.
So first off, I would like to say, Eric, I appreciate your service, but please don't do that anymore. And I would ask all of our listeners not to do that. Download numbers set prices, right? Mm-hmm. So we go, you know, we know we have X amount of downloads for a show. That sets its price initially. There are then factors that move it up and down. So availability, you know, like if a show is booked a lot, we can just increase the price because we have an outsized amount of interest, and that goes up and down over time. There is the amount of availability in general, the notoriety maybe a show has in its community, the how targeted the advertising can be. Like if, you know, a show about pens, right? If you are a pen company, you want to pay that money maybe more than software development company to be on the pen show, right?
Right.
So there are lots of factors that can adjust pricing for a show and the type of advertisers that it attracts. So, but the download numbers are just one of those things that set that number initially. But the most important thing is effectiveness, because we can get one sale. Let's imagine every single, let's imagine a show has 5,000 listeners, and every single listener listening in three places. Now we've got 15,000 listeners. So we can sell an ad on 15,000 downloads, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is then only the amount of people that will actually buy the product, there's only 5,000 of them that could ever even hear it to consider it.
Yeah.
So the effectiveness on the sponsor's end is not going to work out. And so they're not going to come back. So yeah, we got that one ad, right, where we were able to charge them a 15,000 listener number. But what we really want is people to keep coming back. That's the most important thing. Like, we get a longer term deal. It becomes a partnership. It exists for a long period of time. So don't worry about helping to boost our numbers. That doesn't help us in the long term. Just use our promo codes and URLs when you want something. That is the actual thing that helps us the most, because that turns into long-term deals for our shows, and that's the most important part. So I appreciate, you know, if you do want to subscribe in multiple places for whatever reason, go ahead. But if you're doing it just to help us out by raising our download numbers, don't worry about that. Like, you don't need to do that. Just use the codes. That's the most important thing. And Logan asks, how do you approach completing podcasts that you know are going to be retired? You both seem to be great at this, but how does knowing a show is about to be retired affect your content and presentation? If it is noticeable, do you attempt to mitigate any changes in the tone?
It's easy for senioritis to set in, right? So, like, if you know a show is ending, even if you haven't announced it yet, right? It's just natural to kind of want to slack off a little bit, but I try really hard not to do that, because even though I've made a decision, or, you know, my co-host has made a decision to end the show, people are still listening, and people listen all the way to the end. And so I still want to show up and do the best job that I can for people who are listening. And, mm-hmm. you know, if that means I really got to, like, buckle down and finish the last two or three episodes of something when I may not want to, that's what I'll do.
I can agree with you. I haven't done it in a while. I don't think. Oh, no, we just did it with test drivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we knew we were doing it, but we just continue to have fun with it. I think that's something that I've noted, because these things, at least for me, at least so far, never ended in bad blood, right? Like, maybe that is a problem, but I don't think either of us have ever had that, right? Like, that there's some kind of problem. That I'm sure that could make it complicated. But for me, it's like, you just have fun with it. Like, me and Austin were just... we decided we were just going to have more fun on the test drivers for the last few episodes, because we were going to be moving on to something that we were more excited about. So we just enjoyed it, you know?
Yep, makes sense to me.
All right, so I think that was a big episode today. I feel exhausted now.
It was almost an hour.
Yeah, I got to go record another show. I got to do upgrade. I've got a little secret project I'm going to talk about that I decided I'm going to embark on.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, actually. All right, spoilers. I've bought all the parts to do that, extracting the Touch ID thing out of a Magic Keyboard.
Oh.
You know what that guy did?
Yeah. Do you have a link I can put in the show notes?
Yeah. And so I'm going to try it. I bought a new Magic Keyboard because I don't want to destroy my yellow one. And I bought all the iFixit tools to take the thing apart, including, like, this thing that you use to heat up the adhesive.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes, heat gun.
And so, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to try and get it out of there, and then I'm going to try and find something fun to put it in. I don't know what that will be yet.
Wait, how did you find a keyboard? Did you go on eBay?
No, I just bought one.
You can't buy colored keyboards.
I want a colored one.
Oh, I thought you said you bought another yellow keyboard. Sorry.
Oh, no, I don't want to destroy my yellow keyboard.
Got it. Okay, I was right? Like, wow.
Because so I just bought the silver one.
Got it.
And I'm going to then try and, I don't know, like I might see if I can get something made, like 3D printed to put it in and just keep it or like hide it somewhere on my desk or do something fun with it. But like I was intrigued about it and I started looking through the guy's tweets and a couple of people asked him like, how hard is this? How'd you do this? He's like, it wasn't hard at all. Like it's a contained circuit board inside of the thing. And he linked to the iFixit guide. He's like, if you just dismantle it, it's all in there. Like, it's not, you don't need to do any special wiring or anything because the circuit board that has the Touch ID sensor also is where the lightning port is. So it's all self-contained. So you just take it out and it's tiny because most of what's in that keyboard is battery and I don't need any of that.
So you just take it out and plop it on something.
That will be first it will be take it out and get it like actually make it work, right? Like, did I do it right? And then I will look after it very carefully because it looks pretty sketchy, right? Like I could very easily break it. And like at first I might just get some like very gentle like double-sided tape and just like stick it to something so it stays in place. But eventually I want to like maybe get something 3D printed to put it inside. And then I could just have it on the desk.
Kathy recommends 3D printing my character face, and then we have to like put your finger in my mouth to unlock your computer.
I mean, at least it would then be on my desk.
It'd blend in.
It would blend in. Yeah.
I don't like the idea of you putting your finger in my mouth at all.
You don't usually mind.
That's it.
Now we need to hire a HR person. Until next time when we ask you to come backstage with us, I'm Mike Hurley and he's Stephen Hackett and he doesn't want to do this anymore. Say goodbye, Stephen.
Bye, Mike.